Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell and, of course, DK in the back running the show. In this episode, we're going to start our we're going to begin the dead period, the lull period in the NFL where everyone's just hoping nobody gets hurt, nobody gets in trouble.
What's his name from the Dolphins?
Oh no, from the Patriots, right? This guy's facing up to 30 years, the cornerback. I think he tried to get a couple guns onto a plane. Nothing like that happens.
Well, and Tyreek Hill just punched the guy at a weed shop.
I did not even see that, Jimbo. Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah, so. Okay. First of all, he's at a weed shop. Second of all, he punched the guy.
I have a problem with the punching. This is good. We're going to talk about the one glaring need, in this case, defensively, that I think is really the one last step or last piece on that defensive side of the ball that makes them championship ready.
Yeah, and Glenn and I are going to have one each. What we want you guys to do in the comments, let us know.
Because I'll have the correct one, and then Jimmy will have his.
No, that's absolutely not the case. Let's just go back to the draft a couple weeks. Or I had the correct one, and then you had yours.
I look forwards, Jimbo. I don't even know what happens in the draft.
That's a good time. Yeah, I'm excited to get into it, though.
Because I think there is still one area that is not being talked about enough as far as, a glaring weakness on this team. And it's got me a little nervous if we're heading into the season with, what it looks like right now. So do you want to give your incorrect one and then I'll do my correct?
Actually, I wanted you to go first.
I'll go first. Okay. All right.
How about it?
So right now, to me, the one big area of need is the cornerback position. They lost Marcus Peters. They signed Rakia Sin to be his replacement. Of course, they still have Marlon Humphrey, and then backing those two up, there's Brandon Stevens is more of a safety now, even though he's technically listed still as a cornerback if you look at the depth chart. But Demarion,
didn't he play primarily corner?
Yeah, but now I'm hearing he's going back to safety, yeah. Jimbo. They got Demarion Pepe Williams, who's a lot of people are saying is the most odds-on favorite to win the slot corner job. Trayvon Mullen, cousin of Lamar Jackson, who I know he's excited to finally get to play with after years of playing against one another as they were growing up. The super talented Jalen Armour Davis, who again is found not participating with his team in OTAs. He was doing some individual stuff on the side.
Did you say the super talented?
He is talented. He's just never healthy. So he can never practice and then he can never play. And then when he was able to play, he looked lost because he had no practice time and had no idea what he was doing out there. But he's got the physical traits is what I mean. He's 6'2". Mm-hmm. He can run. But the guy's just never out there. So how can he learn? And then Caillou Blue Kelly, the rookie this year, draft picked out of Stanford. They got some guys, Jimbo, but man, all I know is, as much as I like Rakia Sin, I think he was a nice addition. I think he's going to be a good player. If Marlon Humphrey were to go down, I have serious, serious concerns, especially when you look around the AFC at the weapons that every team seemingly have. I mean, the Bengals, everywhere you look, is ranked as the top wide receiver group in the National Football League. Well, they're the reigning champions of the AFC North, so they're going to have to go. The Ravens are going to have to go through Cincinnati if they want this division. And then after that, of course, we know what Miami has. And I mean, my goodness, they got the two fastest receivers on the same team. Buffalo's got talent. The Jets, who obviously are going to be a contender now with Aaron Rodgers, they got crazy talent on the outside. The AFC is loaded with quarterbacks and receivers. And if you don't have guys that can cover and affect the quarterback, I think you're going to be in a world of hurt. So while I look at this group, I go, if everyone's healthy, okay. But the chances of this group staying 100% healthy, I think are pretty slim. And if you take Marlon out of this group, Jimbo, it's a ragtag group. And, man, the pass rush better do a whole lot to help save these guys.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to disagree because I do think it's an area of need. While I don't think it is the primary area of need. However, I do want them to address this position some way, shape, or form. Noted that Marcus Peters still is unsigned. Unless you know something that I don't, he is still
there's
unsigned.
Rumors, but unsigned. Yes.
Right. However, Glenn, I do believe that there is a need that is a bit more urgent for the Baltimore Ravens, and that is the outside linebacker position. And the way that I'm going to start this as far as a needs-based evaluation between the two positions is simply this. I agree with you that the cornerback is very top-heavy, right? Mm-hmm. And they got some names. Like, if you look at the names at the linebacker position, if you went just by names, you might be able to say, all right, you got Tyus, you got Ajabo, you got Owe, you know, you got – up at the top, you got three names of guys that have a mix of potential and have shown some things, right? Mm-hmm. Where in the cornerback room, you got one uber productive guy and you got names. But ultimately, the reason that this is a bigger need, in my opinion, is because one reason is simply because no one outside of Tyus Bowser, but from a pass rush perspective, I don't know anyone on this roster that has done anything that is noteworthy. I don't mm-hmm. think. Like, while you got one in the cornerback room, Marlon's, like, actually done stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone that's like, yes, Tyus is a good player, but he's not going to put fear.
He's not all pro.
Right, and he's not going to put the fear in the, you know, the fear of God in Deshaun Watson when he's lining up on the line of scrimmage, right? That's just not what he does, you know? So the other piece of it is exactly what you said. I always go back to, you know, Ozzie Newsome. One of the things I love about Ozzie is his simplicity. Ozzie doesn't beat around the bush. There's no gray space for Ozzie Newsome, right? He talks about your quarterback, your left tackle, your outside linebacker. That's how you build a football team, right? And you got to have a quarterback, you got to rush the passer, and you got to protect the passer. And so for me, we got a quarterback, we got a left tackle, and we need someone that's going to rush the passer. Now, I'm also not saying that there's guys out there that are just going to give us double-digit sacks. Like, that's also not the case. But I think we need more than what we have, and I think it's more of a concern to me than the cornerback room, just simply because the cornerback room is top-heavy, but I don't really – I just have a ton of question marks there. Is Ajabo going to be what we think he is? You know, he's still green. Will Adafi Owe ever be productive? Can Tyus do anything in from a pass rush perspective? Not anything. Can he do things that are of high production? Because he's done things in the past. So to me, that gives me a lot of – trepidation. And then in addition to that, I also think there's a path towards names that we could bring in that are familiar to us. Houston, we've talked about. JPP, we've talked about. Now, Floyd is gone. And mm-hmm. didn't he got paid at a deep – I mean, it wasn't even that bad. It was a nice price.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a lot of value there. You know, I felt like that team got a nice deal with him. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I think that's the Ravens' glaring need. You got to get to the quarterback, man. You have to. And Glenn, you got to do it without blitzing. You got to, you know, win your matchups up front. Because all teams do is talk about Mahomes' stats against the blitz, like, all the time. So, you know, you got to do it without blitzing. So that's my thoughts as far as that goes from a needs perspective on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, let me tell you something here, Jimbo. I think what you're missing is the fact that the Ravens, look, even last year, right? The Ravens didn't have that. They didn't have like a guy last year, right? Like they had guys that had done it before, Justin Houston, JPP, but they're not that same guy anymore, right? So they didn't have a guy last year. And last year, the team ended top five in the league in sacks without a guy last year, right? So, you know, I look at it like they've done it before. Also, which makes me less worried about the edges, Roquan's a hell of a blitzer. PQ's a hell of a blitzer. Kyle Hamilton's one of our best blitzers. I mean, they got guys all over the place that can rush the passer, maybe from more unconventional plays, not the traditional edge, but still, they can get to the quarterback, affect the passer. The Ravens, while top five in sacks, were near the very bottom in passing yards allowed. Which tells me that even with a top five sacking defense, they were still in the very bottom of passing yards allowed, which tells me they needed more help in the secondary, not necessarily more help getting to the passer. Now, I get that they both complement each other and they help, but I think Bowser will be better just by another year after ACL surgery. I think these Adafi Owe and Ajabo will be better just by the injection of Chuck Smith into this coaching staff and the energy he's brought, the attention he's brought to that room. I think I see a lot more like opportunity for the pass rushers that are there because they were young and how they got this guru in there to get better than I do for the secondary, where I think they just need more talent. They need more. They need a veteran. They need more leadership. They need a lot, because behind those two at the top, it gets thin, and everyone knows corners, they're going to get hurt. I mean, they're it's a matter of time before they at least miss a game or so. So I don't think edge is as big an area of need, because also, Jimbo, they were top five with a Greg Roman offense, meaning a defense, an offense that was dedicated to eating up as much of the play clock, limiting the plays for the opposing offense. Well, now, naturally, with this offense, we're going to see more plays ran by opposing offenses. And that more plays, in theory, will give more opportunities for the defense to get more sack numbers, just because they're going to have more plays to do so. And if the offense performs like we think, they'll probably be playing from a lead, which will make teams throw, which will give teams more give the defense more opportunity to get sacks. So I think their total plays will increase this year because of the offense. Opportunities will increase. Young guys on the rise. So I still think it's corners, Jimbo.
No, that's fair. I think it's a fair argument. I think it's close. But ultimately, I think a lot of the – I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'd be willing to bet, and I don't know if you do at the time, a lot of those blitzes – I mean, excuse me, a lot of the sacks came under – you know, came from a blitz, not from a standard situation in which our guys in front beat the guys in front. Like, you know, you just got your four up front and you're outright beating the guys. And that's, I guess, ultimately what gets me the most concerned. Cause I think later on in the playoffs and the third down, and this is what I go back to. Let me back up for a second. You remember back in the day when it was late in the game and the Ravens would have a 4-point, a 3-point, a 5-point lead, something like that, where you knew the team had to go down the field. They wanted to win the game. They wanted to get a touchdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, somebody up front was always disruptive in those big moments where something happened. And even if you think of that Chiefs game we went to, what it took for the Ravens to win was Adafe Owe getting down there, winning his matchup, stripping the ball out. And so I feel like we need those moments bit more, because I feel like they lack in recent history. I'm not saying that things aren't happening on the defensive end, they're not disruptive, but it doesn't seem to be the same. And I feel like those high leverage moments, your guy up front, has your guys, whatever, they've got to make plays without relying on a blitz. So that's the only reason why I feel like maybe I'm stuck in the past, right? Maybe I feel like, dang, that's what I want to see, because that's what I love seeing back in the, it was always like a Suggs, a Doomerville, a McCrary. You know, the list goes on and on and on, you know, even a Nada up the middle, whatever. But ultimately, I feel like we need some disruption there. And I get nervous with two unproven guys you have standing there as your, or you have plugged in there as your, and you got all the, you got the whole house on them, right? You're betting the house on these guys. And then what if one of them goes down? You know, so I think ultimately there's a need there. And then, and I also think there's a need at corner too. So you give me a lot to think about, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do, Glenn. It's going to be really interesting to see how they address it. I can't hear you, no. You might have to hit the power button on the mic. But I still can't hear you. But ultimately, I think that what it'll come
down
to is...
There we go. You got me now.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Now, let me kick you with this real quick.
Okay.
What I was just going to say is that ultimately, when deciding between the two positions, I think what it'll come down to is which player that they can get in the respective position just simply is a higher impact player. So if it's like sign a Marcus Peters or sign a Justin Houston, relatively the same price, I think they're going to sign a Peters all day. You know what I mean? So ultimately, yeah, I think it comes
down to the price. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the impact that the player can have.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I think you're right in that it's always valuable to be able to get pressure with four man, you know, cause you can leave more guys in coverage. It's pretty easy to figure out why.
Yeah.
But I will say Philly led the, you know, no surprise, led the league in blitz rate, 11%, and also had a historic year from a sack standpoint with 70 sacks, which was so incredibly further. You know, they had the gap
look at
between
their
them
guys,
and everyone else.
I mean, imagine
but
sending
they still
a blitz,
more than anyone.
And you're sending a blitz and you got all these guys up front.
Yeah.
That's an impossible scenario.
Oh, it's ridiculous. But to that point, they had ridiculous guys, and they still chose to blitz at a higher rate than anyone in the league.
Yeah,
you know, even though if you have the guys, you still send them. Is I guess my point. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see. It could come down to who can they afford, and even though they might look at corner as the bigger need or edge as the bigger need, it could come down to, well, yeah, it's the bigger need, but we can still get this area way better for a lot less, yeah, and that'll help that area. Maybe not to the degree, but we can't afford that. So, but let us know what you guys think. I mean, are you like me? Do you think corner is still this team's biggest area of need, or do you think like Jimbo, where they need a guy? They need a guy to at least help accent what these young guys are bringing and increase that pass rush. But let us know what you guys think in the comments below, and we'll talk soon.
See ya.